Okay, so we're talking about the works of the flesh versus the works of the spirit. And justification by the works of the spirit and not by the works of the flesh. And what I've always been telling people is you got to replace the word flesh with law. So by the works of the law is no man justified, made innocent. But by the works of the Spirit are we justified, made innocent. We are the children of the Spirit of the promise, not the children of the flesh, the law. And this principle is in Romans 9. And he talks about, my conscience bears witness in the Holy Ghost that I have heaviness and great sorrow for the Jew, for the Israelites, according to the flesh, but the word is law, according to the law of Moses, and the law of God, which basically set the Jewish nation apart. The Jewish nation was set apart by two things, by the seed of Abraham and by the law of Moses from every other nation. So when it talks about walking according to the flesh, it's talking about walking according to the law, the written law. And I'll prove that here. They're not all Israel which are of Israel. So they're not all Israel because of the flesh, because of being birthed from the seed of Abraham. Now, this is confusing to the law-abiding Jew, because the law says if he's of Abraham's seed, he's a Jew. Paul says they're not. Neither, because they are of the seed of Abraham, are they all children. You're not a child of Abraham just because you're of his seed.
Yeah.
Now, he's going behind the veil here.
Yeah.
But in Isaac shall your seed be called. What's Isaac? The promise. The promise of God.
Oh,
way back in the beginning. The, you're of Israel if you are of the promise. Same thing Jesus said about the promise of the Holy Ghost. You're not of the Church of Jesus Christ if you have not received the promise of the Holy Ghost. That is, they which are the children of the flesh are not the children of God. Okay, now I'm going to transpose that word flesh to law, and I'll justify it by Scripture. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. That tells you right there that flesh is law. You can transpose the word flesh with the law. They which are of the children of the law are not the children of God. Now, I'll justify it in Matthew 3:9. John the Baptist is talking. He said, you people need to bring forth fruit worthy of repentance.
Wow.
And not just repenting according to the law.
Yeah.
And think not to say within yourself, in your conscience, oh, we have Abraham as our father, so we're justified. For I say unto you that God is able of these rocks to raise up children to Abraham by the law. By the law, God can call a rock the child of Abraham by the law. Now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bring forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the furnace. And look at the connection. I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. John the Baptist is talking. He shall baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. That's the promise. Abraham says, don't think to say to yourself, we're justified and we're God's seed because we are of Abraham's seed. That's the law. The law said, if you came from Abraham's seed, you were an Israelite. That's the law.
But he's a Jew, that's one inwardly.
He that is a Jew inwardly. So, now you go back and it makes more sense. They which are the children of the flesh, the law, these are not the children of God because they're not the children of the Spirit. The promise of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and going forward, and the promise that Jesus Christ gave of being filled with the Holy Spirit, which makes you a son of God Almighty in Christ. Without that, you're not. You are a religious believer, intellectually ascending to being a son or a daughter, but you're not truly a spiritually birthed new creation.
So talk a little bit about true and false repentance, because maybe this is the problem.
Here's the deal. True and false repentance. You cannot have an acceptable repentance before Jesus Christ apart from the Spirit, apart from the promise. Everything that's confessed by the law is not justified. So what has religion done? Religion has said, you come, you say this, you apologize, Jesus has to forgive you, you move on. There's no feeling, there's no freedom, there's no liberty, and actually, the proof of your repentance is, are you still walking around the mountain? Are you still 40 years in the wilderness, or are you free? Anything truly repented of that has been received by the high priest, Jesus Christ, now frees you from that sin, or frees you from that desire, frees you from that activity, to where you are free indeed. That's how you know you have been forgiven. Not that you have asked, but that you actually have been forgiven and, legal term, justified before God in Jesus Christ. His blood cleanses you from all unrighteousness. What's that mean? You no longer, that's where John says, he that is born of God sinneth not. When you're truly born of the Spirit, and when the Spirit truly forgives you and cleanses you of a sin, you don't sin in that anymore. Or if you do, it's less and less and less until finally you're absolutely free from it. Because we know that sin is pleasurable for a season. That's what the scripture says. What's that mean? It means sin becomes habitual. So you may be forgiven and not completely free of that liberty, but you will be, and your predisposition for that sin will diminish. It will go away. It will, what's the word I'm looking for?
Your heart will be circumcised.
No, the word.
Love?
Anyway. Remiss.
Remission.
You will go into remission. Remission is not instant healing. Remission is the slow, gradual, continual, perpetual freedom of sin or disease. You go into remission. We know where cancer goes into remission. You know, your cold goes into remission. That's the true confession in the spirit that is received by God Almighty in the heavenlies causes that sin to remiss to the point where you're free from it.
So what do you think is an unreceived condition by God?
Well, what is not received? What confession is not received? What act of contrition or act of some kind of repentance is not received? Anything according to the law. Anything that comes from a predispositioned heart to remove yourself by doing works.
Or if you're still accusing and excusing while you're...
Well, that's all part of it. As long as you're accusing somebody else, you're not, you don't see it. You're not free. And as long as you're excusing yourself, well, the devil made me do it, or this situation made me do it, my upbringing made me do it, you're not forgiven.
So there's a couple scriptures I want to throw at you. When you seek me with your whole heart, you'll be found by me.
Well, okay, whole heart. What does that mean?
Or half-hearted confession?
What does whole heart mean? It means reserving nothing back, keeping nothing back, no deceit, no hidden darkness, no gray area. I laid with that woman. It was my fault. I sought after it. I wanted it. I made it happen. Please forgive me, Father. It's total, it's taking total responsibility, not blaming or accusing anybody else.
That's why you maybe had more of a dramatic conversion than people that are still kind of living in the congregation of the dead.
Well, let me put it like this. I had a dramatic conversion not because my heart was necessarily right. He put his spirit on me and put me through a dramatic encounter. He encountered me, and I responded wholeheartedly. I held nothing back. And he filled me.
See, it took me a while to get out of sacrifice and offering to actually be in the place where I could make a true confession.
Well, here's the deal.
Nothing back.
I felt fornication probably three times after I got filled with the Spirit. One was with the woman I was living with, when both of us knew it was wrong. And a couple other times were just strangers. But in the midst of that, not only was it no longer pleasurable, it was tormenting. I felt condemned. And the reason I felt condemned is because I was in remission. Anybody who has gone into remission from alcohol, most of them take another drink because it's familiar to them and it's habitual to them. And they feel like they have a need even when they didn't want it. And what does it do? It makes them sick. That's what happened. Makes him sick. That's what happened to me. My soul got sick. And you know what? Walked away from it.
So your conscience became alive in a new way.
Oh, yeah.
When you got saved.
Yeah. What I had justified and reasoned within my conscience to be acceptable was no longer acceptable. And the operation of self-justifying reason stopped. I stopped justifying myself. It was involuntary. It wasn't something I decided. I didn't read somebody's book. I was convicted about trying to justify why I did what I did. I became very honest and open about it. And the Lord blessed me. And so my first prayer, get this. The first prayer I was inspired by the Holy Ghost to pray was Solomon's prayer. Lord, help me see why people do what they do. Help me discern right judgment in myself. Help me to see the log in my own eye. so that I'll clearly be able to help others with the speck in theirs. I didn't even understand that scripture. I didn't even know that scripture. But the prayer that came to me was, Lord, please help me see why people do what they do so I can be part of their answer and not be part of the problem.
So I want to tell you about my soul now, too. Being raised as the daughter of a priest, going to church, traditional religion, when my heart condemned me and what I allowed, I was trying to clean up my act before I talked to God about myself. Whereas you, when you condemned yourself, were talking to the Lord to get the revelation of the Spirit rather than doing works before you could get yourself together.
See, I had a good trainer because I was raised a Catholic. I wasn't a good Catholic, but as a 6 and 7 year old kid, well, up through 9, I went to Mass. And my first communion was 7 years old. I had to go to catechism class. 7 years old, I had my first communion. But you know, the operation there was totally godly because you could not receive communion unless you had confessed to the priest. So the operation was you confess first and then you receive Jesus second. And you can't receive him if you don't confess. That was my instruction. And people can say, oh, well, that's man. You confess your sins to a priest or to a man or whatever. The principle is true. And to a child, that priest represents Jesus Christ. So what's that? That goes beyond the flesh, beyond the law, beyond the denomination, beyond the Catholic Church, into the spiritual realm of the kingdom. I was confessing my sins to Jesus Christ, not the priest on the other side of the curtain.
Yeah.
I really believe that. And I realize that. And so that set me up for my early adult life to confess my sins to the Lord personally before I was ever born again or before I was ever filled with the Spirit. I did that. I'd walk out on the deck of the flight deck of the aircraft carrier when we're over in off the coast of Vietnam. I would walk out there when we weren't in flight quarters and I would pray.
One of the things that I think is really special about you too is in your ability to reveal your conscience, that remission of sin in real life stories.
Well, what gives me the liberty and the freedom to reveal my conscience? Because I reveal my conscience, the training wheels is I reveal my conscience to Jesus Christ. Once you reveal who you really are, truly, to Jesus Christ,
I can't condemn you anymore. You're free.
What can man do?
Yeah.
And why would you be ashamed to confess it to man if it will help him?
Exactly.
I don't walk around sharing my conscience with everybody.
Right.
But if I'm in front of somebody that I see is stuck, I can reveal my conscience, an area of my conscience, to show them the freedom and liberty of exposing my conscience to the Lord Jesus.
The testimony to...
And I've got some pretty powerful testimonies. And you know the people who saw it more clearly than anybody were Catholics. The guy who started the golf course in Rifle, Jimmy LaDon, Italian guy, he was a fighter, he was a drinker, he was a womanizer. He watched me through the years. Saw me turn down the 49ers, saw me turn down Evel Knievel's contract, saw this stuff, secretly admired me for it. Toward his latter years, I'm playing golf and Rifle. He searches me out on a golf cart. He needed two walkers to walk, but he searched me out. He asked me to meet with him after I got done. He asked me if I would go into his trailer and hear his sins. He wanted to confess his sins. He knew he was close to death. And so I went and I heard his sins and prayed for him. It was so what caused him to be able to do that?
And I want to say something about myself, as I don't ever remember actually going to confess my sins with a priest. I don't think that was very popular anymore in the Episcopal Church.
Popular.
But I have to say, when I held no bars back with a particular woman, and I got filled with the Spirit in a Pentecostal church, there was an eye-opening revelation and spiritual true change in my soul. When I did it to somebody else later, doing that act of actually talking to somebody and telling them the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Well, what's the song go, "You'll never realize true satisfaction"?
Until you give the Lord your very best.
Until you give the Lord your very
even
best.
Even with you.
What is your very best? It's not your job.
You didn't want the 10 hours of details. I said enough to you to know that you knew who I was and I wasn't holding anything
back. Well, but
the
thing is, you were the only woman I ever met that wanted to tell me everything. You wanted no stone unturned. And once I discerned the spirit of your confession, I didn't need to hear anymore. I basically absolved you before and in the presence of Jesus Christ, that you were forgiven, you were free, because you had already done business with the Lord.
But, you know, before I met you, I should have met you a year before I did. What happened in that year, however, was a true confession.
Yeah.
Which, what that did for me was actually give me the joy of my salvation. And look at how many people we have personally known over 38 years that are missing one thing. They don't have the joy of their salvation, neither do they
have
liberty.
They don't even know they don't have it.
To give their testimony. They don't have the liberty to give their testimony, and they don't have the joy.
Yeah.
So now I want to, this may not be applicable, but you turn it on. I want to just ask you about one more scripture I read recently about Daniel. So you see the first part of what Daniel did, he wanted to please God, so he separated himself from the king's table.
Right.
Much like Jesus in the desert, in a way.
Right.
But then later on, I think chapter 10, is this struggle with Satan where I've come because of your words.
Yeah.
So in a sense, what I see about your conversion, Jesus came because of your words. In a way, I feel like when my words were right with the Lord, I found the joy of my salvation.
Well, you know, there's a lot of truth to that, because my time with Jesus on the flight deck, before I got filled with the Spirit, I bore my soul. And I talked to him as if I knew him. It was not religious. It was not the law. I talked to him as if I knew him, because in my soul and spirit, I did know him. I just didn't know. I didn't have the full assurance of the Spirit.
I want to say another thing about just, because I knew a lot of priests and a lot of pastors. I went to a lot of different religious events, even nunneries, on sabbaticals, okay? So one thing about you, however, that totally changed everything was you can't connect to God through works. You can only connect to Him through divulging your motive and intention.
Yeah.
So keeping
your
that
conscience.
Connection alive, the motive and intention connection phone line with God.
He doesn't want to hear what you do, what you're willing to do, what you will do. He doesn't want to hear that. All he wants is a sincere confession. You know what the Catholics call it? A good act of contrition.
But
that's what they call
you
it.
You live in a spirit of exposing your conscience to the Lord. Your conscience alive.
But see, it's become habit with me. It's become the way of life. The way of Zoe.
A personal relationship with Jesus Christ and motive and intention.
Why would I talk to him about things that he's not going to listen to me with? Why would I go to him in the spirit of worldliness or the spirit of the law? You know, even, you know, Kenny Copeland went through this thing years ago, remind God of his word. You know, talk to God about his word and say, hey, daddy, this is what your word says. Now, you know, this needs to, you need to activate this toward my life. I mean, what a haughty... God's not listening to that. You think he needs to be reminded of his word? He needs to be connected to your inner man, to who you really are. If you're free enough to talk in the spirit of your inner man, your conscience, who you really are, to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, he'll open heaven for you. He'll forgive you your sins.
And that's the problem with other people.
And you will become free. I've met very few contemporary Christian church people who are really free. Anyway, that's all I want to say about that.